Sometimes the fun begins when the paved road ends. Chevy Silverado 2500 HD is made to work hard and play hard on the road or off. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com for details and experience life in HD.
What issues around your house are staring you in the face this weekend?
Do I get the sanded grout or the unsanded grout?
The last 3 or 4 years, I've been fighting mildew issues.
Hello, good morning, how you doing?
Whatever questions you have.
This isn't real earth-shattering.
Lou is here to help.
I'm only taking earth-shattering questions. Can you give me an earth-shattering question?
Waking up, shaking yesterday's blues, yeah.
Yeah, here it comes.
Right here on House Smarts Radio.
It's a brand new day. Ain't no clouds hanging over.
Good morning. Lou Manfredini here with you, the House Smarts Radio Show on 720 WGN. This hour of our show, sponsored by PermaSeal Basement Systems and Ace Hardware. And our phone number is 312-981-7200. Merry Christmas weekend to you right before the holiday coming up on Tuesday. Hope you're getting all your last-minute shopping and all the things you have to do done because you're running out of time. Good morning, Lindsay. How are you? And good morning, Lindsay. How are you? And good morning, Joe. How are you?
I'm great.
How
are you?
We'll just move on to somebody else. Good morning, Don. How are you?
Good morning. Doing
Merry Christmas.
Lou.
Now we'll go back. Good morning, Lindsay. How are you?
Oh, that wasn't me. Who couldn't hear me before?
You sounded great to yourself.
I did. I had a whole song I was singing for you. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, everybody. Nice to see you all this morning and be here with you this morning. We're here all the way until 10 o'clock. I think John Williams is doing his Saturday show today. He's got lots of days off he has to take. So I think
he's very busy.
He's very busy, and
he's still recovering from that trip in Mexico.
Yeah, and I do want to speak with him when he comes in, tell him I want him to pop in here because he raised a bunch of money. John has been always so generous with his time as it pertains to the Salvation Army, as they say, doing the most good. And they raised like $40,000 with his virtual kettle, which is amazing.
Wow.
And I think it's worth talking about this morning as well. I'm sure he will as well, but that's a really good job by him and all the sponsors that stepped up to help them, and we want to give them all a little love for their generosity because I had a conversation with a friend of mine, and I'll just keep it at that just because I want to make sure that he wants to share this. Eventually, I want to have him come in and talk about this, but he's a business owner. And he has this philosophy about conscious capitalism, which I thought was really interesting. And, you know, his point is a lot of people hear the word capitalism and they get, their hair stands up on the back of their neck like that's a bad thing. There's a lot of companies out there and people that own companies that are doing really well. And then they take that success and they give back and they do good things. And so when people like sponsors come up and say, hey, I'm going to help the Salvation Army, I'm going to help Misericordia, or I'm going to help, this autism group, or whatever it may be. Those are the benefits of, you know, as we're shopping with companies. And Lindsay, we've talked about, you know, holiday gifts that you're wearing. Well, you're wearing a Misericordia beanie this morning, but, are the Love Your Melon guys, right?
Right.
And they're a company that is helping children with pediatric cancer and the Two Blind Brothers. Mm-hmm. What's the name of that company?
That's it.
The Two Blind Brothers. But what are? But are there? Is there? The clothing have a different name, or is that what it is?
That's what it is.
Right. So they're making these clothes, and then they're selling it to help people with blindness and try and find a cure. I mean,
correct.
That's the kind of stuff when you're going to spend your money. Right. Why not?
Right.
If you're going to spend $30 on some hoodie, you know, that says whatever. Buy one that says whatever, but then gives a portion of it back to, you know what I mean? We have to do more of that.
And most of the time, those clothes are pretty stylish and pretty current.
It has really come around. I mean, it's not like you're getting like a little, you know, bracelet that says, I donated. I mean, which is fine too. But I mean, as a gift, like you get some really cool, there are some such cool things out there that are gift worthy and, you know.
Yeah. So anyway, it's a cool idea. And I know that the holidays are just, you know, a couple days away, but there's a lot of great options. We have some more holiday gift ideas coming up this morning on the show as well. Some last minute items that if you're looking to purchase things today or tomorrow,
before the holiday. We've got some other ideas. And then is Paul coming in? He's coming in this morning. We annually have always had this great conversation with Paul Hammond, who is the president and CEO of the Knight Ministry. As you know, they are just this amazing organization that's out there helping people all year long, but around the holidays it's more focused, and Paul's always nice to come in, and we talk with him about the Knight Ministry and how we can support them as well. It's always kind of a Christmas tradition for us to have Paul in studio, and he's always so gracious with his time to come in as well. And then just in case, Don and Joe, I know you were, the holidays, you wanted to end it on a positive note. We've got one more wine tasting for you this morning. So that's coming up a little bit later on. And my wife, as I gave you guys, made scones this morning for the holiday. So I hope you're
fantastic,
enjoying those.
Fantastic, delicious. Yeah,
she's amazing. Wonderful. She's amazing. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Let's get to your phone calls this morning. Let's try and help as many people as we can today. Good morning, Bonnie. You are on WGN.
Good morning, Lou. My question is, a green scrubby pad was used to take off black shoe scuff marks on a wood floor, and now where it was used, those areas are duller. Mm-hmm. And I was wondering what can be done.
Well, you're not going to get that. Here's what you can try. Unfortunately, you know, the finish was taken off by that scrubby pad. What I would do is take a foam paintbrush that you can buy at the hardware store, and then buy a quart of water-based polyurethane in a satin finish.
Okay.
Not semi.
Water-based polyurethane.
Yeah, not semi, but a satin. You might be able to buy it in a little pint. And I would start with the satin. You're going to paint this on just on the board itself. Okay. So in other words, you want to outline it. You don't want to kind of go willy nilly across the floor, but you want to go board by board, edge by edge. And the reason I want you to do that is that we're trying to see if we can blend the shine with the rest of the floor. The reason I want you to do satin is it'll be shinier than what you have, and if you go immediately with the semi and you do that, it'll give you this phenomenon called flashing, meaning it's shinier than the rest of the floor.
Okay.
If the satin isn't shiny enough, put another coat on there, and if it's still not shiny enough, then you'll get a little pint of semi-gloss and go over the top of that. Your other choice is to have the whole floor screened and just a new finish put over the top of it.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
So buffing those areas would not bring back the shine?
No. No, it's not like a stone. Mm. The shine is on the top.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. So just use that paintbrush.
Foam brush, line to line.
Blending it.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Okay. Thank you.
Good luck. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you.
Appreciate you calling this morning. 7:21 in the morning. House Smarts Radio on 720 WGN. We'll be right back.
Look, Daddy. Teacher says every time a bell rings, an angel gets his wings.
City sidewalks, busy sidewalks, dressed in holiday style. In the air, there's a feeling.
You know, I like that Michael Bublé, but he's got nothing on Dean Martin.
Children laughing.
Welcome back. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Lou Manfredini here with the House Smarts Radio. Merry Christmas.
And on every street corner.
You know what you're going to hear on every street corner? Here it is. Wait for it.
Silver bells. Silver bells.
Howard's in Mount Prospect. Hey, Howard, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Good morning, Lou. Thanks for taking my call.
Of course.
I have a situation I cannot explain. On my kitchen door that comes off the driveway, I have a block step. It's about 10 inches high. It's original to the house that was built in 1960.
Okay.
I cannot explain why water comes from what I think underneath the block, wicks or somehow gets up and rolls down the top of that block step. It appears like it. I have a door, a limestone threshold. I have two courses of brick, and then I have this concrete stoop or block. And then asphalt driveway.
Okay, so it's a concrete stoop. But when you say block, are there cinder blocks around it?
No. It is just one solid piece of concrete stoop.
Okay, and the water is coming where?
It comes from what to me looks like where the stoop is connected to the brick wall.
The stoop is connected.
There's a foundation, then some courses of brick.
Okay.
And then it appears like the water comes from between the bricks and the stoop. The stoop is slightly pitched down towards the driveway,
right.
And I get these trickles of water that come out.
Okay, so
for months and months.
Okay, so if I'm standing on this stoop and I'm facing the house and I'm looking at the door, there's a limestone threshold or sill, right, that the door sits on.
That's correct.
And when you're standing on the concrete pad there, you step up to go into the door, correct?
That is correct.
And is there, where the brick meets this concrete stoop, is there expansion at all, or is the concrete poured right up to the brick?
It's poured right up to the brick.
Okay. And the water that you're getting, those trickles, is, it appears to you, is coming from where that brick connects to the concrete at that point.
Exactly correct.
Okay. We need...
It's always damp.
Right. So we need... My guess is a couple... could be a myriad of things. One is, it could be groundwater, meaning that it could be the water table where that pad is sitting there and it's sucking it up. It could be water that when it rains or it's damp that hits the brick wall, and as gravity brings it down and it hits the concrete, it's wicking from the brick onto the pad, which is where you're getting this these trickles of water. To try and solve this problem, how handy of a guy are you there, Howard?
I can do it, whatever it is.
All right. There is, are you familiar with a tool called a multi-tool?
Yes.
You know, it's kind of a vibrating multi-tool. You can
wedge edge on it, you chop or cut with it.
Correct, but they also make different attachments for this where you can get a masonry wheel that has an aggregate on it, and it's almost like a three-quarter circle, and then it's flat on the other side. And when you mount this on this tool, you'll be able to, if you mount it in a certain way, you'll be able to hold this tool right up against the brick, but not damage the brick. What I would do is probably take a piece of duct tape or even painter's tape along the brick, right where from the concrete step up, and then I want you to take that tool and I want you to make a trough or a wedge, a separation between the brick and the concrete stoop. And I want you to go as deep as possible, which is probably only going to be about a half of an inch. And on either side of that door, I mean, that's probably not that big, but you're going to cut that in there to give the water a place to go so it doesn't land on top of the stoop and then give you that trickle.
Okay. So I'm cutting, basically...
You're cutting the concrete. You're separating the concrete from the brick.
Okay. I got it.
You're a good man, Charlie Brown. Have a great weekend.
Have a Merry Christmas, Lou.
You too, sir. I appreciate you calling this morning. We'll be right back.
This is extremely important. Would you please tell him that instead of presents this year, I just want my family back. No toys, nothing but Peter, Kate, Buzz, Megan, Lenny, and Jeff. And my aunt and my cousins. And if he has time, my other friend. Okay?
Oh, oh, oh.
Baby, please come
That cookie you got me is in my throat. Welcome back. House Smarts Radio with me, Lou Manfredini. Quick story. You know, Joe and Don, Lindsay knows this. I'm more than a pretty face. I'm not just a guy here standing here, you know, good looking, talking on the radio all the time.
Handing out scones.
Right, handing out scones that my wife made. We own a couple hardware stores. You may have heard that before. And we have a forklift that broke. And anyway, long story short, we're looking for these parts that we need. We're going to try and figure it out ourselves. And so I go to this place that's a part supplier for forklift parts. And I got up early. I actually went to the Y and I worked out. The only reason I'm telling you that is that I'm in a sweatshirt, you know, like a hoodie and sweatpants. I got a hat. I got my Michigan hat on. I got my glasses. And right. I walk into this parts store. Talk to this guy. I got this forklift. Yeah, we can order that part for you. Be here tomorrow. I go, okay. And he goes, you got a phone number? I go, here, I'll give you my card. And I pull out my card that's the Ace Hardware card and says my name and phone numbers, you know. And he goes, oh, Lou Manfredini. He goes, like that guy on TV. I go, yeah, that's me. He goes, you wish.
Stop it.
You wish, pal.
You wish. And so I'm about ready to say something, and he goes, yeah, I watch that guy on TV all the time. I like that guy, and I listen to him on the radio. And so I'm just listening to the guy, and he's kind of just murmuring about how much he likes Lou Manfredini. And I go, all right, call me tomorrow, and I left.
You are kidding.
No.
You're not the real Lou Manfredini. You smell like beef and cheese.
Right, right. You'd never be caught dead in those dreads.
Yeah, I'm that guy. You wish.
You wish.
It was so funny. Great. I mean, yeah. I started to laugh, and I'm like, yeah, I do. I do wish. I do.
I pretty... love how you didn't make it a point to correct him.
Like, all right, call me tomorrow.
That's it.
Right. Or mess with him in any way. Like, or be like, you know what? I don't really
And
like,
I'm thinking,
really,
you know,
like
I had the hat on, you know, and I had my, you know, and I'm sitting at this counter and, you know, not looking, I mean, you've seen me in a hoodie, but
hopefully he's listening right now.
Yeah,
and he feels like
you wish. Hey, it's
where
fine.
Was this again?
At this forklift supply place. I mean, it wasn't like any place that I go to normally, you know, to buy some. Here's the thing. Let me give you young kids a tip. Go into the forklift supply business. That's where the money's at. This little piece of metal. I mean, literally, I'm holding my fingers 3 inches apart with a little ring on it, $300.
Wow.
It's crazy.
Yeah,
and they got you by the shorts because it's not like you could make this, you could whittle this thing. You know what I mean?
They don't have them at Walmart.
No, I can't get it on Amazon.
Yeah.
Forklift supply, you can charge whatever you want.
Yeah, but the payoff is you got to be oblivious to people that you constantly watch on television then.
Right.
I like that guy on TV. I go, yeah, that's me. You wish.
It would have been great if he was like, you know, but he thinks he's a little too funny.
Yeah.
Right. No, but he was very complimentary, and I was going, well, that's nice that the guy, you know, like, why am I going to mess with this mojo? He likes that guy.
Yeah.
Right.
What else do you like about him?
What else do you like about him? He's handsome, right?
Start fishing.
Yeah.
Let's talk to Denise, who's in Joliet. Denise, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Good morning, Lou. Merry Christmas, everybody.
Oh, Merry Christmas to you. How can I help you?
I have an electric stove with a smooth cooktop, you know, glass or ceramic. I don't know what it's made of. So I simmer a pot of water on the stove for humidity. Went to work, left the pot on, came home, white stuff explosion all over my cooktop, on the floor, around the cabinets, on the microwave above the stove.
Wait a minute. You left the pot on, like, with the flame?
It's an electric stove.
Oh.
But yeah, I left it on low. I just simmer it for humidity in the house. But yes, I went to work and left it on.
Denise, wait a second. Do you have like family that lives around you, like people you're going to see at Christmas time?
You want them to hit me over the head?
No, I want them to bring you a humidifier.
I have one, Lou. That's the sad part.
Right, okay. All right. Well, you need another one.
I walked in the house and just said, thank you, Lord. So on the burner is the pot started to melt into the stovetop.
Oh,
so
gosh.
There's about a quarter. I know. I was so close. Thank you, Lord.
Wow.
Thank you, Lord. Never do that again. But there's like a quarter spot of what I'm guessing is melted pot on that smooth cooktop. Can I get that off? It didn't damage the cooktop. It appears to me that the pot started to melt. That's how close it was.
Right, and it got into the... And the burners that you have are... They're not glass... It's not a glass burner.
Well, it has... It's a smooth... You know, like an electric stove with a smooth cooktop.
So the whole top... Little... The whole top is one piece of glass.
Correct.
Yeah. You know, that's the cooktop. Is it a conductive cooktop where if you turned it on and there wasn't a pot there and you put your hand there, it doesn't get hot?
No, it gets hot.
It does get hot. Okay, well, I mean, the short answer is maybe. I think that what you could probably try is turn it back on. And I want you to get a razor blade scraper. Okay.
Okay.
And get it to like a medium temperature. Well, you said you had it on simmer, huh?
Yeah, I have.
All right, so put it on a medium temperature, let it get warm.
Okay.
After maybe 10 minutes or so, take that razor scraper and then gently go over the top of it and see if it'll warm up enough to soften that metal, whatever's melted, and then you can pull it away.
Okay. No products that you can think of
There's no product.
Not for metal.
Not for the metal, no. And don't do that again.
I know, and I got my humidifier out. I'm going to use that.
Yeah, lesson learned. I mean, you're really lucky.
Oh, no kidding.
Really, really
no
lucky.
No kidding. Believe me. Yeah. I stood there in shock just saying, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Thank you, Lord.
Right. All right, Denise. Merry Christmas. Appreciate you calling this morning.
Who the heck are you?
What are you talking about? I'm Santa Claus.
No, you're not.
Why, of course I am.
You disgust me. How can you live with yourself?
Just cool it, Zippy.
You sit on a throne of lies.
Look, I'm not kidding. You're a fake.
You stink.
I think you're going to have a good Christmas, all right?
You smell like beef and cheese. You don't smell like Santa.
I think for the white Christmas, you're going to have to use some paint.
Just
not going to snow.
Like the ones I used to
Welcome back. Wait, terrific to get some work done around your house, though. If you last minute, like you need that roof or any outside work, I bet the contractors are super happy with this kind of weather. All right, this is our last installment of some holiday gift ideas, and... these are a few that Lindsay has discovered that you can probably shop either online or from a store. And we have them posted up on our Facebook page as well as John's delivering donuts. And I'm ready to cue you to play the Noodaloo too. He's not even listening. Hi. Hey. Hey, how you doing? Ready to play the Noodaloo too? She's stuffing
I
a big.
Donut.
I can tell you. You're talking to John. You know, we are doing a radio show here, and I was doing the
maple
setup. I was trying.
Glazed.
Yeah. How much are you going to eat? I'm worried about you. People are going to be like,
I told you.
Remember, she used to be so tall and thin.
It doesn't count on the weekends.
Is that right?
I mean, sorry, on the holidays.
On the holidays. Or for you, it's the weekends. Take a listen to some last minute holiday gift ideas. It's a really long open. Get you in the holiday season. Here we go.
Hear that clock? Time's ticking. Do you have gifts for everyone? Thank goodness for Amazon. All right, a few more last minute gift ideas for you. For the green thumber in your life, the Click and Grow Smart Garden System allows you to grow your favorite culinary herbs all year long without worrying about weather conditions. Growing your own herbs, salad greens, and flowers are as easy to do as using one of those pod coffee makers. You just need to plug in the power adapter, insert the plant pods, fill the water tank, and you're ready to go. You can choose from over 40 fresh herbs and fruits to grow pesticide-free. The Click and Grow Smart Garden goes for $99 on Amazon, and when I was looking, there was a 30% coupon. Next, turn your toilet into a dance party with the Lumalux 16-color motion sensor LED toilet bowl light. That's right. The built-in motion sensor will automatically illuminate the room when you enter and shut off when you leave. Great for kids and adults alike. Hey, we all gotta go. And for $15, nothing says Merry Christmas like, hey honey, try not to miss next time. And lastly, your New Year's resolution. Aw, man, I forgot my gym key. Can't get into my locker. Not with the Benji lock. The Benji lock is a fingerprint lock that solves the where's the key hassle and makes it easier to secure and access your belongings. Looks like a traditional old padlock, but built-in biometric technology uses your fingerprint like a key, storing up to 10 different fingerprints, and is USB rechargeable. Goes for $69.95. You can get it on Amazon. I believe you can also get it in select Ace Hardware's in their grommet section. I'll put a link and pictures up of all the products we just talked about on Lou's Facebook page. You can find a whole slew of other gift ideas that we've been featuring all month. Happy holidays!
Merry Christmas!
That's this week's New to Lou 2.
I just don't know that I want my toilet bowl illuminated.
Oh, it is the coolest thing.
Really?
Yes. We featured it a couple years ago.
Yeah, right. And this is a new version.
And the girls love it, first of all. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's like cool to... But they have to go... They get up and go to the bathroom in the middle of the night.
Right.
I mean, girls, boys, I mean, you know,
so
whatever.
So do old people like me.
Well...
When I think about it, like in our bathroom, you know, we have a bathroom and then a little separate toilet room. And obviously for a man, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. women can go in the dark, right?
Yes, I guess.
Do you, I mean, if you get up in the middle of the night, you turn the light on?
I mean, but it is, I think it's more difficult for kids to like get like,
wait, what are we saying? It's not difficult for me? And I got to turn that light on. It's like 3 a.m. and you're like, boink, it's all bright. Yeah, well, exactly. And you're like, you know.
Or so then you just kind of maneuver. But when you're older, like you kind of know where like, oh, this is, there's going to be a step here. There's a rug here. I might trip
mm-hmm.
because you're just familiar with that.
But sure.
It's just a cool product, I think. For 15, it's fun. It's a fun kind of a. Great stocking stuffer.
I'm not anti-light up your toilet bowl.
You just said you don't like it.
I didn't say I didn't like it. I said I don't know if I want to light it up, but I think I need to revisit it. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, I gave you that little holiday necklace. Maybe I could wrap that around the toilet seat, and that would be illuminated around the holidays.
Yes, but it doesn't have a sensor.
No, it doesn't.
Mm-mm.
She put all these up on a Facebook page. Go to Facebook.com, look for Lou Manfredini, and you'll find it, as well as our website, WGNradio.com.
Oh, there we go. Calling the North Pole now to see if we have Santa Claus.
Ho, ho, ho.
Hey, Santa Claus.
The North Pole.
Oh.
If you'd like to speak to Santa, press 1.
Okay, hold on a second.
If you'd like to speak to Mrs. Claus, press 2.
Yeah, maybe that'd be good.
If you'd like to speak to Santa Claus.
Oh, there we go.
Press 1.
1, yep. Hold on, this probably...
Please leave a message after the... It gets them every time.
Rocking around the Christmas tree at the Christmas
party. I know most of you think that we rehearsed that, and we didn't. It's live, first time. Still cracks us up. Welcome back. Merry Christmas. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Our last show before Christmas. John Williams is in the house. He's doing his Saturday show. And I think he has so much vacation time, he's going to be back sometime in February. You know, I'm heading to... Did you know... Have you heard me talk at all about going to Alaska? Did you know that?
No.
Well, you know, so I was thinking, people are signing up, which is great. And we're already planning our excursions with our family, like the things we want to do, because, you know, you got to plan all that stuff out. And... Just out of, you know, I was thinking, you know, this is a bucket list type of thing to go to Alaska, right? It's not an inexpensive proposition to go on an Alaskan cruise on the Mariner Seven Seas when we're going. Well, I went to their website, the ship website. You know, you're getting a deal when you come with us. You're saving a lot of money. Their starting point, if you go book directly with them, is a lot higher than the starting point if you book the Lou Manfredini and family and friends trip, or whatever you call it. What are you calling it? The Lulapalooza in Alaska?
Ooh, good. Good
so
one.
If you want to hug a polar bear, or...
Yodel,
play with a seal, ride a train. Look at that. You're ready to go. That This was the tape that Lindsay set into America's Got Talent, and they didn't call you back.
This is my girl Jewel. She's from Alaska. I don't know if you've ever heard of her.
With her snaggle tooth? People, right. People are turning to 87.7 right now.
So what do you think?
I don't think this is helping me sell the trip.
I'd love to see the reaction of somebody just turning on their radio.
Right. What did I just... Right. Right. I just woke up. Is this not the House Smarts radio show? What is that yodeling?
You wish.
You wish. Anyway, check it out. If it's on your bucket list, it's going to fill up. I'm telling you. And after the first of the year, put this underneath your Christmas tree. Go to kellycruises.com and you'll find information on our cruise. Actually, John Williams even has a cruise on that Kelly Cruises website. And Kathy and Judy, remember them? The ladies? They have a cruise as well. So if you want to learn more about all these different trips that are happening, just go to kellycruises.com or you can call them at 630-990-1111. Try not to scare people away with the yodeling. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. We've got some open phone lines this morning. So if you've got anything going on around your home that you need help with, just pick up the phone and give us a call. I want to also tell you that we have our Binney's Beverage Depot wine tasting coming up, which will be pretty good. This is the last one, and we have a $100 gift card to when we do it. We'll open up the contest line a little later on.
We're
and somebody
a port.
Really?
Do you like a port? A good port?
On occasion, I do a little after dinner drink. I'm, you know, the I mean, are you? Is that something you
I'm
do?
Not really an after dinner
drink
like
person,
dessert wine drinker,
right? Right.
I just like the wine drinking.
Right. I do too. I don't mind a little port afterwards. It's an acquired taste, definitely. So I'm curious to see what that's like, and if that makes a lot of sense to people if they like that. There's a lot of good choices when it comes to after dinner drinks, and we'll see. It'll be fun. Joe, have you been a port drinker before? Is that something you're willing to try?
I'll try anything.
You'll try anything.
Yeah.
What is your beverage of choice when you're out having a cocktail, or are you a beer and wine guy? Or are you?
You know, I mean, I kind of now broaden my horizons.
Really?
Yeah. I do like vodka. I do like old fashions. I like red wine. It's pretty much whatever mood I'm in.
I love how you young people are bringing back the old time drinks.
Yeah.
Right? Those are all the rage now.
It's my favorite thing to start a night off with, especially a wedding.
Oh, sure. Just a little old fashioned.
Nice old fashioned.
Right. Yeah. Right. I like that. Good Manhattan.
Yep.
Right. I think that's fun.
I have no idea how to make them, but.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. I was. We had a little pizza party last night for some neighborhood friends that came over, and I made smoked Manhattans.
Oh, you did say that. That sounded very good.
It was a big hit, and it's part of the whole process, right, where people are like, what are you doing? And, you know, you got the smoker going, and you go into the shaker, and you do that, and there is a flavor. It kind of smooths it out a little bit. It was delicious, and they're fun to make.
I had a fig old-fashioned the other day at a place on Taylor Street.
Fig?
Yeah.
Really?
It was good. It wasn't great, but it was good.
Hmm. All right, good. Well, maybe we got to do that. Hey, you know what? New Year's? Oh, wait, am I going to be here?
No.
No. Oh, I'm going to be on the air, but I won't physically be here. I was going to say.
We'll toast to you.
How about after the New Year, I'm going to bring my smoker in here, and we're going to do smoked Manhattans.
Ooh, I like that.
Hey, I was at your house last night, and I didn't get a smoked Manhattan.
You didn't want one. Did I not go out and buy the exact wine that you wanted?
That was so nice.
Okay. I mean,
so
wow,
nice.
You just totally slapped me in the face. I was like, oh my gosh, Lindsay's coming. We don't have...
From the Marble region?
Thank you.
Thank you.
Look at Joe even knows.
Yeah, I was
he
taking notes.
He went out to get one bottle of wine. You went out
just for
me.
You. People are like, so oh, can I have this? I go, no, no, no. No, don't take the straw out of that bottle.
Very funny.
I know.
Very funny.
312-981-7200 is our phone number. This is Mary in Mount Prospect. Hi, Mary. You're on WGN.
Hi, Lou. Thanks for all the good advice you give all the time.
Oh, my pleasure.
I appreciate it. We have, I think, a broken tile, and the cost of putting a tile and liner from the kitchen drain in the middle of the side of the house to the tie-in by the street. Would you have any idea how much that would be?
You have a sewer tile that's broken?
Yes.
Okay, and did somebody put a camera down there to confirm this?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
All right. And how far away from the home is it?
The tile is in the middle of the basement. The drain is in the middle of the basement, and it goes outside.
Right, but where is the break? Is it under the concrete in the house or in the yard?
The break is under the tile. We saw it with the camera.
The bottom of the tile.
The tile is a round tile, and we could see water at the bottom running. And they said the tile was broken, like on the side.
Right. But I'm not following you on the tile. Meaning you have you we're talking about a sewer line.
Yeah.
Right. And when they put the camera in there, did they tell you where the break is? Is it in the home or outside of the home?
Outside of the home.
Outside of the home. Okay. So along the foundation line.
Yes.
Got it.
And they want to put a sleeve in there, a liner.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's a couple ways to go. Certainly you can do the liner route, and the idea there is that they can probably do it from the inside where they break up the floor. Do you have a finished or unfinished basement?
It's unfinished, but they were talking about having me cut down the evergreen tree in the front yard and put and excavate, dig, and put a sewer line with a sewer tile with a line and tie it to the street.
Right. So they're going to put a whole new sewer. If they're going to dig up the tree.
Okay, yes.
There's a couple ways to go here.
Mm-hmm.
There are liners that companies do where they dig up a hole and they come inside the house and they put it. It's like they put a sleeve through the existing pipe. They don't have to dig up anything.
Exactly.
Then, mm-hmm. and that's not an inexpensive proposition, but you're not cutting down an evergreen tree.
Mm-hmm.
Then in other ways, they can dig up and just replace that broken tile. If it's right along the foundation wall, they can dig right next to the home.
Mm-hmm.
And they can expose that line, or they can break up the floor on the inside and do it all from the inside as well, if that break is right by the foundation wall.
Mm-hmm. No, they said it was like in the driveway. You know, it's the wall by
right.
the driveway.
I'm trying to follow where this break is. So if it's near mm-hmm. the driveway, then we still have to dig a hole. Here's what I would start with. I would call PermaSeal at 800-421-SEAL, because they not only do waterproofing, but they do basement, they do plumbing services, and this would fall under there as well. The sewer line they can help you with for sure. 800-421-SEAL. Have them come out and give you a free estimate so you can have another estimate to make sure that you're spending your money the right way. And there are two ways. You can do this liner or you can dig down. My preference would be to dig down, replace the broken piece, and be done. And if we can save the tree, even better. All right, time now to hear from Lindsay about what's new at Builder Supply Outlet.
Okay, people, picture this. You're walking into a smorgasbord of vanities. Tom, you clearly know we like choices here. I mean, it must be the biggest selection in Chicagoland. Every imaginable style and all the newest colors. I know in the past I couldn't always do an entire renovation at the same time, but just adding a stylish vanity with a granite or quartz top can add such richness to an entire room. With over 800 vanities in stock, you are going to find just the one to freshen up your bathroom. It's why I'm always anxious to see what's new at Builder Supply Outlet.
Does Natalie live here?
No, she doesn't.
Oh, dear. Okay.
Are you singing carols?
No, I'm not.
Please, sir, please.
Well, I suppose I could.
Yay!
Good King Wenceslas looked out on the feast of Stephen.
Welcome back, House Smarts Radio on 720 WGN. Just a couple minutes, we're going to chat with Paul Hammond, who is the president and CEO of the Knight Ministry, who's going to be joining us in studio to talk a little bit about the Knight Ministry and all the great work that they do. But first I want to talk with Don, who's in Chicago. Don, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Hey, Lou, Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, sir.
We're looking to buy a different house. We looked at a ranch with a crawl last week. And my question is, because I'm not familiar with this, the furnace is in the attic, and it's got flexible ductwork. Is there any way I can move that furnace to the main level? And what's your opinion of flexible ductwork? Because I'm not, like I said, I'm not familiar with it.
Is it
I've seen it, but I don't know anything about it.
Is it a flex ductwork, meaning that is it a Unico system where it's a small, like in the rooms, are they like round?
It's round, flexible ductwork, but the furnace looks like a regular size furnace,
right?
Like sideways up there,
right? But the flex ductwork so it's a ranch house.
Right, with a crawl.
With a crawl.
But there's room on the main level because they've added to it that you could have a furnace in like a utility room. Is that possible or is that cost prohibitive?
Well, but I mean, what would be the reasoning? The flex ductwork doesn't bother me.
No, not the, but I'm, because I don't want to be 90 climbing up to the attic to change the filter.
Well, I want you to be 90. God willing.
I do. That's
right.
That's something, a good goal.
I want you to be 90, but at that point, hopefully, you got somebody else to climb up there.
So you don't even think.
No, because the problem is you got everything's run up there. And so if you were, you'd have to build. If there's room on the first floor, okay, so let's just run this through, right? We got to run a gas line. We got to run a. You've got to run the gas line over there. We got to run a new furnace now, probably a conventional updraft furnace, and we got to build a plenum, and we got to connect to the ductwork that's already there. We're going to spend thousands of dollars just to move the thing down from a filter change. How about this? What I would rather you do if you want to try and these flexible ductworks, do you know if there's return air in all the rooms? Or is there one
ceiling, but I'm not positive.
All right. It could be that you have one main return, okay?
Okay.
In a hallway that pulls everything in there, where you've got like a large register that's in the ceiling or something like that.
They're in the ceiling.
I'm guessing.
Okay.
You could have it in such a way where that you change that out and have the filter right there. So then when you're 90, all you're doing is on a little step ladder. I still don't want you on the step ladder, but you just reach up and go click, click, new furnace filter, and you're done.
Okay.
Okay. So the flexible ductwork.
It's a great house. It's just I had never seen that. I mean, I know in different areas they put furnaces in the attic.
And when you
flexible,
how do you get up to the attic?
They got kind of like one of the old rickety pull down.
Right.
Attic access.
Right. So one of the things you can do is they do make really nice attic stair systems. You could upgrade to, like, there's a nice aluminum one that Werner makes that you could have built so that when you're 90, remember we're focusing on 90, you just slide this thing down. It's this nice sturdy thing, and you could put.
Okay.
You know what I mean? And then you could have a couple.
Can those wider, Lou? Can it be a little bit wider? Because you know how back in the day,
yes,
they were all kind of narrow.
Absolutely, and then as we get to be 90, and you get a little wider yourself, it's not a problem.
Does that ductwork need to be supported? That's my last question.
Because really.
It looks like it's just kind of laying
up
there.
Not really. As long as it's insulated, you're good to go.
All right, Lou, thanks a lot. You guys have a great holiday season.
You too, and good luck with the purchase of the new house. Every year, I get the chance to talk with this guy, Paul Hammond, who is the president and CEO of the Knight Ministry. Paul, it is so nice to see you again. Merry Christmas.
Lou, it's great to be here, and Merry Christmas to you as well.
You get to see these beautiful new studios. Wow. It's the only mistake that they made here is I wish that it was like the restaurant at the 95th where it spun, so that as we're talking, you know, we could just rotate, and then I could see the view as well. But you got a nice view of it. I say this every year, Paul, I don't want you to have a job, but unfortunately, or fortunately, I guess, you do, because homelessness continues to be a huge problem, and unfortunately, it's growing.
It is growing.
Nationally,
yes,
and as well here in Chicago.
Yeah, so nationally, numbers ticked up about 1.5% this past year.
Wow.
Yeah. Last year, there were 150,000 affordable housing units lost across the country, so that doesn't help the situation either.
Is the Knight Ministry, I would imagine, because you provide the services for literally the people that are on the street right now,
you
must be part of the conversation with different organizations that are like trying to solve the affordable housing issue, the homelessness issue of like what is, you know, how we're going to address this issue. My daughter, who's living out in Los Angeles, sent me a an article about how it was like in the Hollywood Reporter, and how the entertainment industry, homelessness is hitting the entertainment industry. So these are people who are working.
Right. Yes.
And they're living in their cars. Or they know that they can't afford a place. So instead of buying a car, they buy a small camper.
Right.
And they're relocating every day. And then they're showering at the YMCA or whatever it is. And then they're going to work. And then they go back to their camper.
Their camper, right.
That they're parking on the street. You know, they're not parking it like in a campsite or anything. And I mean, this is the working homeless.
Yes, the working poor. Yeah.
The working poor. Right. Right.
People who are in an environment where housing prices are so unaffordable that if they're working a job or sometimes two jobs, they still cannot afford a safe and stable place to live from, on a day-to-day basis. I mean, here in Chicago, if you're making minimum wage, you've got to work more than 12 hours a day, 7 days a week, just to afford a market rate two-bedroom apartment.
Right.
And if you're in that situation and you are one paycheck away from being homeless, or you have a broken leg and no health insurance, things quickly go down the tubes from there.
Right. You know, the issue, you know, it's a whole conversation about, you know, minimum wage. I mean, minimum wage was never designed to be like something you could live on.
Right.
You know, it was when you and I were kids, it was, this is my first job. I'm a stock boy at the Jewel or whatever it is.
$6.25 an hour.
Right, exactly.
Public library.
Yeah, right, exactly. And you're living at home and you're going to high school or whatever it is. And obviously that's changed a lot. When you talk with all these other organizations and they look at this homelessness issue and they look at some of the, what is the conventional thinking now? You know, that if you could wave a magic wand to say, how do we, you know, how do we have the biggest impact to help these people?
So I think that Juan would have to touch a couple different points. First of all, it is about affordable housing. Next, it's about a safety social net that individuals can rely on if things go south. So, for example, if somebody does become unemployed, that they've got great job training to back them up to help reposition them for a different type of position. It's about family unification and parenting. It is about having a great healthcare system where individuals are not released from the hospital out onto the streets, which is a really big issue we face here in Chicago. So you'd have to, that magic wand would have to touch a couple of different points. It's an incredibly complex, and as we call it, it's an interactive topic.
I had a, I have a friend of mine who works, he's actually on the board of Swedish Covenant Hospital.
Oh, yes.
Are you, you know where I'm going to, what I'm going to talk about?
Their housing initiative.
Their housing initiative. Yes. This is amazing to me. He tells me this story. Lindsay, this is amazing too. You got to listen to this. It's a, they get a bunch of homeless people that come into the hospital and they have, you know, it can be a severe issue or a minor issue, whatever, and they will treat them. Obviously, they're a hospital. They'll give them medicine, whatever it may be, and then within 2 weeks or a month, they're back again. And because they didn't take their medicine, or they didn't, because they have no home. And so there's no place to remember to take it or whatever. And they came to the conclusion that what we should be doing
is housing.
And they determined that they call them frequent flyers, right? That each person was costing them close to $250,000 in services. That it would be wiser to house them and give them, you know, the medicine that they need to get them well, and it would be better for everyone concerned.
No, you save the system money. It's better for the individual. I mean, a lot of individuals whom we work with that are living in encampments or like along the tents that I saw, in the tents that I saw along Lakeshore Drive this morning. If you're in that type of situation, it's hard to stay healthy. You're exposed to the elements. It's hard to keep your medication safe. So that safe and stable housing is a by far a vitally important part of the process. There's no doubt about it. And studies have shown the individuals who are housed do end up staying healthier in the long run. They end up having fewer trips to the hospital, that type of thing.
And the answer is not to build, like, apartment buildings and house the homeless, because there's just so much more to it than just putting putting them in a place where they're out of the weather.
Right, exactly. We had somebody who testified before Congress earlier this year, and she said it beautifully. She goes, just because I have four walls around myself at night doesn't mean I'm necessarily not homeless.
Right.
So it's about the fact that you have to have the supportive services there
right.
to assist the person, to help them address whatever it was that resulted in their homelessness to begin with. So it's about those ongoing supportive services, which require a really intense relationship with that individual.
You've been with the Knight Ministry how long?
16 years now.
Wow. Yeah. And to remind people, you have more than one bus, right?
We have one large health outreach bus that's on the street 6 days a week.
Right.
And then plus we have 61 beds for homeless youth on a nightly basis. And we also have our street medicine team that's on the streets working like Lower Wacker, all the encampments that individuals see, as well providing on-the-spot, very portable, flexible medical services to those who are actually living on the streets.
Wow. And we mentioned at the top when we were talking that this is growing, the need is growing, and I know that in the past we've talked about toiletries and things basic stuff like a toothbrush
yes.
or toothpaste or some deodorant yeah. or whatever it might be. I would imagine, too, that fortunately or unfortunately, I mean, when we come in here now where we're located, we come in from Lower Wacker, right. and earlier in the morning, mm-hmm. you see the people that are living down there
yes.
and moving around. And mm-hmm. I mentioned to Lindsay this morning, I was actually thinking about that as we were driving in this morning, and lo and behold, we, came right by a couple folks that probably mm-hmm. the Knight Ministry has helped in the past yes. or in the future. It is a very difficult situation. Organizations like yours just provide such a vital basic need that I think for many of us, when you're in the suburbs or you're driving downtown to the Loop, you may not notice that, but it's there all the time.
It's there. And there's also what we call hidden homelessness. So those are individuals who are maybe not necessarily on the streets, but perhaps they're what we call couch surfing, going from one friend's house for a couple nights to another friend's house for another couple nights.
Right.
Or they are individuals who are maybe living in their cars, but those cars are not necessarily visible. So there's a whole hidden population mm-hmm. as well. I mean, Chicago Public Schools has 18,000 homeless students registered. With CPS. That is, individuals who have no safe and stable place to go on a nightly basis.
Right.
And you're not seeing those individuals necessarily on the streets, but perhaps they are couch surfing, or they are doubled or tripled up, three families living in a one-bedroom apartment, something right. like that.
It's not confined to just the city of Chicago.
It is not.
There is homelessness in Naperville,
yes,
right?
Yes.
And places where you would think these affluent suburbs, you wouldn't think about it, or, Highland Park or Deerfield, it's probably right in front of you and you don't even know it.
Exactly. Yes, exactly. No, I mean, and homelessness in the suburbs is growing as well.
Right, right.
Without a doubt.
Primarily, your services are in the city of Chicago.
Yes, we are in the
city
of Chicago.
Where the greatest need, obviously,
right,
is.
In the city of Chicago, right.
And have you had good support financially? I know you've got corporate partners and individuals that come in and help you guys out. I'm sure it's always a struggle, but you have some longstanding help from people, don't you?
We do. The city of Chicago and the individuals who live here, the community and those who live in the surrounding area are an incredibly generous population.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're just good Midwestern stock and they really know how to help out their fellow humans. But we have an $8.6 million budget we have to raise every
wow.
year, and that's a lot. So yes, we do rely on those individuals who continually support us year after year, as well as trying to find individuals who are new to our mission and can partner with us in new and different ways to help to support our work.
I know in 2019 you've got an annual dinner coming up that you always have, Lighting Up the Night Annual Awards and Dinner, which is an auction and dinner that mm-hmm. occurs on June 11th, which will be happening at the Sheraton Grand Chicago. Are there still opportunities for people to support that?
There are. There's lots of opportunities for corporate sponsorships, for individual sponsorships, I believe starting at $5,000 and going on up from there.
Mm-hmm.
And this year we're proud that we're going to be honoring the Kellogg School of Management at Northwestern University because they have done such a phenomenal job of supporting the Knight Ministry. Their students work with us, as well as their support of the nonprofit community in Chicago in general.
How is it that you accept donations? I know certainly you can accept donations probably of monetary, but if people want to donate things like toiletries right. and those basic needs. How do they do that?
Right. So the first thing to do is to go to our website, www.thenightministry.org, and we have on there a list of things that we currently need. Things like you mentioned before, toiletries. What's really important for us this year is gloves and hats because the cold season started a little bit earlier this year in November. We had that cold snap. So we kind of went through our supply rather quickly.
Right away.
So someone can go online and check that out, check out that list, and then drop them by our office, or they can order on Amazon and have them shipped directly to our office as well.
I love that.
Yeah, that's really a great
thing. Amazon really kind of has a program for charities and stuff too where they help out a little
Amazon Smile. So if someone goes to Amazon and does purchasing yet for the holiday season, they can designate the Night Ministry as being a recipient of a portion of the proceeds from that sale.
That's great. Yeah.
And then also there's always financial donations that are gladly accepted, and one can donate via our website as well.
You're doing God's work there, Paul. You and your team, I know you got lots of people that are out there working very hard, and you know... I mean, I don't know this for a fact, but you're not in it for the money.
No, we're not. No, that's for not. But, you know, we just couldn't do our work without the people who support us, our hundreds of volunteers, friends like you and Lindsay, and then our staff and volunteers are just absolutely phenomenal and never cease to inspire me.
It's amazing. Paul Hammond, President and CEO of the Night Ministry. If you would like to help, whether it's a monetary donation or something in kind that they can use, just go to their website, TheNightMinistry.org. That's TheNightMinistry.org. Their phone number also is 773-784-9000. That's 773-784-9000. Paul, it's always nice to see you. It is this. You and I have talked off air about my my commitment and talking about homelessness and how it can affect so many people. It's something that I am keenly aware of. And as long as I have a microphone in front of me, you are always welcome to come in here and talk about this so that we can try and get the word out to help these people.
Thank you. We really appreciate that. And I love coming down here every year at this time.
That's great. Merry Christmas.
Great. Thank you. Merry Christmas to you.
You're listening to House Smarts Radio with me, Lou Manfredini. It is 8:56 in the morning. We'll be right back. What happened? What are you touching the mouse over there? Are you sure? Because it just went away completely.
Oh, no, I am touching the mouse.
Yeah, well, now whatever you did completely went away.
Go ahead.
A little Christmas for you.
Oh. Drop it like it's hot. Drop it like it's hot. Drop it like it's hot.
Or there's a hole in your roof.
Drop it like it's hot. Drop it like it's hot. Drop it like it's hot.
Or your pipes are a banging.
Drop it like it's hot. Drop it like it's hot. Drop it like it's hot.
Just call Boo.
Now back to House Smarts Radio on 720 WGN.
It is kind of funny that we share the mouse. Like if I'm doing something, right? Welcome back. Now I get nervous when he starts rapping that he's going to say something. Welcome back. Yep. By the way, this hour of House Smarts Radio is sponsored by ChevyDriveChicago.com and by Ace Hardware. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. If John Williams is listening and he wants to mosey into the studio, I want to pat him on the back for all the fine work he did for the Salvation Army and would love to learn a little bit more about all those great sponsors that helped him out this morning for the program and donated so much. And we'll give them a little love on House Smarts Radio. This is John in Buffalo Grove. Hey, John, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Yeah. Hi, Lou. Always enjoy your show.
Thank you, sir. How can I help you?
We're helping my 94-year-old father sell his house, and the buyer's home inspector says that the Federal Pacific Electric Company circuit breaker box is no longer considered acceptable. Does that have to do with, like, local codes, or is that just they're looking to get some money at closing?
I think it might be it has some did he mention that it has aluminum wiring in it?
No, it just says no longer considered acceptable.
It's a breaker box, right?
Yeah.
And how old is the house?
50 years old.
I don't know that to be the case. I need a good 134 electrician to call me and let me know about that. That would know. Let me see if I can get someone that has a little knowledge. And that I don't have that specific knowledge about that breaker panel. I will tell you this. Do you already have an offer on the home?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. And it's on, I mean, it's we're going through that process of, right. You know, the inspection report, and they're asking $2,500 to have that upgraded.
Yeah, that's, I mean, to upgrade the panel, that would be right. I'm not certain about the panel to do that, that's about right. Here's and you're a little too far into this, but for folks that have a situation like this where you're selling a home for a, you know, an elderly father or father-in-law, or you're just trying to do something, sell the home as is next time.
Well, we are basically.
Yeah. Did you? But was that part? Was that a? Was that part when you put the contract out there and say this home is being sold as is? Was that listed there in the offer?
It was not. That's kind of a gray area because it was not when it was marketed.
Right. When you market a home, yeah. and this is for people listening, not you, because you're in there. I mean, you can also go back and say, you know what, we're selling the home as is. You could go back. You're working with a realtor, I believe.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you know, if you don't want to do this $2,500 here, and you know, if are there a bunch of other things that they're
well, $1,500 for the exhaust flue pipe for the water tank is not properly sized.
Okay.
$1,500.
Right.
And they've got a few other items in there that they either want repaired, like an attic fan that doesn't work. I don't know that it ever worked.
And let me ask you this. This home, as you look at it, in other words, is there a whole bunch of other things that have to happen, like the kitchen and the bathroom and that kind of stuff?
Well, it hasn't been updated for 40 years.
Right. So...
So it's, you know, that's, that, and they understand that, you know, because obviously they made, you know, made the offer they did, which we were happy with, but now it's looks like they're looking to get money back to where their original offer was.
Exactly. And so this is a little bit of gamesmanship in the selling price, right? If I'm buying this house of this elderly gentleman that has a 40-year-old kitchen and this and that, who's ever buying that house is either going to turn around and flip it, or they're going to come in and remodel it and do whatever, and they're just trying to get money back. So you can do one of two things. You can just dig in and say, nope, we're not going to do that. And if they walk away, they walk away. And if they do walk away, remarket the house as is. And so that anybody coming in there knows, here's the price. I'm not doing any of this stuff. I mean, here you are trying to help out and get this all done. And then, you know, it's not buyer beware. They're still going to do an inspection and they would still come and say this electrician, you know, this box, whatever, you know, is not compatible. I'm going to try and find that out. So keep listening. I would just, you know, you decide how much pain you want to go through. If all of a sudden you're contracting all this stuff, trust me, it's not going to be worth the headache.
Yeah. No, I'm sure it's, or more headaches.
Right, exactly. Right, maybe. Right. You're just right. I mean, if, you know, so that would be my approach.
Thank you.
Keep
so
listening
much.
And
really
let me
helpful.
See. Yeah, let me see what I can come up with on the box as well. 312-981-7200. This is Stuart in Glenview. Hey, Stuart, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Hey, Lou. How are you?
I'm well. How can I help you, sir?
I just want to say that my girlfriend Judy and I are huge fans. We listen every week. So glad that you're there to help people.
Oh, that's very nice of you. Thank you.
Well, hopefully you can help me. I've had an issue with my sewer line. It's been clogging on and off this year numerous times. I've had it rotted over and over. The same plumbers have come out numerous times, as recently as yesterday. It backed up, and it seems like it's occurring every few weeks now. They ran a camera down there. Took a look to see what was going on. They said there might be a piece of like lead flashing or something that's come loose. They're not sure. They also hydrojetted it, and now they're saying that if none of that works, that they want to break up the laundry room and reinstall a new pipe. One other factor that seems to have affected all this is that I recently, in the last 6 months, replaced all the toilets in the house with the new low-flow ones. We had the old-fashioned ones. The house is like 50 years old. Mm-hmm. So now I went from 3 or 5 gallon flush to like 1.6. And I guess I'm old-fashioned. I contend that, you know, it's these low-flush toilets that are not allowing enough water to flow to clog up the line, making the lines clog up. But anyway, what they're telling me is that the pipe may have shifted, the ground may have shifted, and the pipe may be like, tilted the wrong way, so that the waste, the paper and everything is backing up and can't flow properly. My question after all that is, does this make any sense? Have you ever heard of anything like this happening?
Well, I mean, what's a little concerning to me about this is that if they put a camera down there, if televising the sewer is done correctly, Stuart, I can go inch by inch and tell you exactly what's going on. It's not like, well, we think. In other words, I should be able to take that camera and go all the way out to the city sewer and literally with clarity that I could stick this thing in your pocket and tell you the change that's in there, tell you exactly what's going on. Now, if they're telling you, oh, I can only get the camera to go this far and we can't go any further, then that may be where the problem is. If you are having repeated rotting and you know, this is what's going on, then there's some issue going on. There is a break or a root or something where paper or waste is getting caught in the sewer line, which is then backing up. My suggestion to you would be to have a different person come televise the sewer. Now, I don't know that this is still happening, but I think a week or two ago, the folks at PermaSeal had some deal to get your sewer televised, and it was a pretty good deal.
I use them all the time.
Okay. Have you used them? Have you used them to televise the sewer?
No.
Right. It's call them up, have them come out, and have them televise the sewer and say, this is the problem I'm having. They should be able to tell you exactly where this issue is.
Would it even show? See, the issue that our plumber said is they thought it was pretty clear, but they said you can't tell if the sewer line is tilted the wrong way using the camera.
Well, sure you can, because if you're going along with the camera, if it's hanging up, it'll hold water. In other words, you're pushing the thing through there. If it's pitched correctly, you'll never hit any water. If all of a sudden it's collapsed and the camera goes into a pool of water, right? And you'll see that. I mean, it is like, you know, remember when you were a kid and you wore goggles and you jumped in the pool and you had goggles or a mask on? That's what you look like. Now you're looking underwater. And so you absolutely, with the right person that knows how to use that camera, will be able to tell you exactly what's going on. And then they measure it, and they even have a sensor where if it goes outside, the guy can walk outside with this sensor and tell you exactly where that tip is and say, this is where the break in the line is, and they start digging right there.
Well, the plumber that was here yesterday, we did the laundry and it all gushed out of the floor drain, which is, you know, what started all this calling you today. They think that there's a problem between the floor drain and the clean out, which is only about a 4-foot section of pipe. And
inside
the house. Okay. Absolutely. They said the problem is absolutely inside the house. But if there is a problem.
But from the floor drain to the clean, so the clean out, the floor drain must go towards the pipe where the clean out is.
I would imagine so, yes.
Okay, so then the clean out from that point goes outside. So how is that clogging? That doesn't make sense to me.
That's why I called.
That makes no sense to me. You got a pen or a pencil?
I do.
800-421-SEAL. Schedule them to come out and televise. Tell them we had this conversation and have them tell you exactly what's going on. It's not between the floor drain and the clean out. That's going the wrong way, and that's not clogging it.
Okay.
Capiche?
We'll do that.
You got it?
Thank you very much, Lou.
Stuart, happy holidays. I appreciate you calling this morning. It's 9:20 in the morning. We'll be right back.
Merry Christmas!
Merry Christmas!
Merry Christmas, Stuart!
Merry Christmas, Movie House! Merry Christmas, Emporium! Merry Christmas, you wonderful old Billy Alone!
Happy holidays.
Happy holidays.
Happy holidays.
Do you two have any idea who this is singing right now?
Keep ringing. Happy
is this Bing?
Nope. To you.
What do you think?
Frosty the Snowman.
It's no, who's the singer? Frosty the Snowman.
Claus is coming.
This shows your age. You know what's very funny? Do you watch these St. Jude's commercials on TV?
Mm-hmm.
And this is an age thing as well. My son goes, the St. Jude commercial was on, and he goes, "Who is this woman?" I go, "That's Marlo Thomas." "Well, who is she?" I go, "Well, her father, Danny Thomas, founded, the St. Jude's Children's Hospitals, and she was America's sweetheart back in the 60s, Marlo Thomas, you know, and on TV, and she, I'm trying to think of who she would be, who I would equate her to. That's Andy Williams. That
like
was just
Anna Kendrick.
Is she America's sweetheart?
She's a treasure.
Oh, you
one
got,
of them.
You got a little Anna Kendrick crush?
Sure, why not?
Yeah, Quinn likes her too. She's pretty funny.
She's cute.
She is cute. She's funny too.
She's kind of She's like the full package.
Yeah, yeah, right, right. Mm-hmm. Very good. Who's your American sweetheart there, Don? You got a little I really like that Lindsay Smithwick. She's eating a lot of cookies today, so she's got this whole thing where during the holidays it doesn't matter.
Don't
is that a hot dog?
Nope.
Oh, wow. It came in the hot dog boat. Yeah. This is amazing. What is this?
This is an anise.
Anise. Those are from Tenuto's, which is Tenuta's in Kenosha.
Oh, okay.
It's this Italian deli / bakery.
Thank you very much.
These cookies are the best. Wait.
Yeah, I was going to say.
I like to dip them in the red wine.
Whoa.
Oh, my gosh. That is amazing. So, this is our final Binney's Beverage Depot holiday wine tasting of 2018. And we're finishing it up with two dark reds. One is a red and one is a port. When you poured this port in the studio, you poured it for me, it completely enveloped the studio, the smell. I mean, I like it.
It looked like I was pouring,
molasses.
Yeah.
It's really thick. Okay, we're not going to start with the port, though, because I think you want to finish with that. By the way, we have a $100 Binney's gift card. Seventh caller at 312-591-7000 will win. Seventh caller, 591-7000, will win a $100 gift card courtesy of our friends at Binney's Beverage Depot. So we're going to start with the Hess Lion Tamer, which is a 2015 blend. It is composed of 50% Malbec, 23% Zinfandel, and 11% Petite Syrah with smaller parts of a Cabernet. Now, the Petite Verdot Merlot and the Morverde is in there as well. The 2015 Lion Tamer is a model of complexity, gentlemen and lady, offering loads of black currant, preserved plums, and dark chocolate with hints of provincial herbs and earth.
Wow.
Earth? I don't know about earth. It's like makes me think of dirt.
Herbs and earth.
Herbs and dirt. Okay, rich, full-bodied wine with plush tannins. The Lion Tamer will complement many of our classic holiday dishes. What do you think?
This is the cookie one?
Oh, no, you have to bite the cookie first, then you dip
it.
No, you bite the cookie, then dip it, because you need to expose the...
I did.
You did that?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you're good.
Mm. This ain't my first. Actually, that is my first time I've ever done that.
And it's delicious, right? That's
the
an Italian.
Wine is very
thing.
Good.
That's a very good move.
Yeah, it's very good.
Cookie in the
that's
wine.
Smooth.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm. That is really smooth. Mm-hmm. Wow, that's good. $39.99. That's really good. Okay, now this is a port, and port is a something that you either love or you don't.
Mm.
This is Graham's 2016 vintage port. $115.
Come on.
So this is for someone you really love.
Whoa.
Right?
And who really likes port.
Who really likes port.
You
because
want to make sure they like port.
Right. Exactly. The 2016 ports are so amazing, we could easily pick the Taylor, Dow, or the Waré for this list. But our favorite is the Grahams. This port is extremely concentrated with aromas of mint and chocolate and layers of ripe black fruit flavors. It has great structure and balance with a long finish. Although this is wonderful to taste now, it will continue to improve, listen to this, over the next 25 to 50 years.
Whoa.
Right? Like that guy that wanted to change his filter when he's 90. He needs to buy a bottle of this port. Right? He's going to be around. This is also available in limited supply in half bottles and magnums.
Oh.
Ooh. All right.
This great port vintage only come along a couple of times a decade. Don't miss out on 2016.
It's actually not bad.
No.
I'm not a port drinker, but it's...
Hold on.
I can taste
the. I really caught a waft of alcohol when I took a sip, but it's not
And look at the legs. Sharp at look all. At the, like, when it... I mean, it is truly like molasses. You put it up and it's... You don't want to spill this on your white leather couch.
That is really good.
Right? Yeah.
Like this port. But see, the problem is if you were at a restaurant and you had port, this would be the most expensive one. You wouldn't order it.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
I'll take the Mogan David. You got the Mogan David port? You got the Colt 45 port? That's what I want.
In a brown bag?
In a brown bag. I'll see you later.
Yeah.
That's really good.
It's really good.
And only getting better for the next 50 years.
I've never had wine like this.
Right? That's
very
good,
tasty.
Right?
Very tasty.
You know what? You pour this for Anna Kendrick, and she's all yours.
All right. Halfway there.
That's
halfway there.
Come try my port.
These and many other wines are available at Binney's Beverage Depot. Lindsay will take a picture of both of these and post it up on my Facebook page.
Get the cookie.
The cookie is great, right?
I'm a big dipper for anything. I love to dip.
But I'm telling you, those Annis cookies from Tanuta's, my buddy Tom Neumeier used to always buy me a bag at Christmas time, and I take a little bite of it, and then I dip it in the red wine. Lights out, right, Don? It's good,
delicious.
Right?
Delicious.
Really good. All right, the Hess Lion Tamer 2015 for $39.99, and the Graham 2016 Vintage Port.
We need bibs now.
Vintage Port. is available at Binney's Beverage Depot. Seventh caller to 591-7000 is going to win a $100 gift card. Thank you, gentlemen, for coming in. Merry Christmas.
Thank
nice
you.
To
Thank
see you.
You as and, well. Can we figure out a way to keep this going?
Yeah, we should, right? We need to do New Year Binney's Beverage Depot wine tasting.
Yeah.
We'll figure that out. What do you got hanging out of your mouth? Is something caught? Is that what it is? What, you're walking around with the cup hanging from your...
It's red wine. I just don't want to spill it all over this...
Oh, your scarf.
My scarf.
Got it.
Or my shirt.
We'll take a quick break and be back right after this.
Alpha, to the end zone, touchdown!
New Year's Eve. The Big Ten West Division football champion Northwestern Wildcats head to the sunny shores of San Diego to take on the Utah Utes, the Holiday Bowl.
The Holiday Bowl. And the Wildcats win! The Wildcats win!
On 720 WGN.
Are you cramped for closets space and it's stressing you out? Here's an idea. Put an EasyTrack closet organizer on the top of your Christmas list. Fox Home Center has everything you need to make your dream closet a reality, all without breaking the bank. Or your back, really. EasyTrack can be installed in one afternoon and can easily double the space in your current closet. Fox Home Center stocks a large assortment of closet components, from drawers to baskets to shelving in white, truffle, and gray. Stop into Fox Home Center with your closet dimensions. Let one of their helpful designers assist you in creating the ideal closet space. Fox Home Center's digital imaging program will bring your closet dreams to life, and they'll show you how affordable it can be. Right now, all EasyTrack components are an additional 10% off. They're already low prices. So what are you waiting for? Stop in at Fox Home Center today. They're located at 11150 South Cicero in Alsip, open 7 days a week and weeknights until 8 p.m. Their website again, foxhomecenter.com. All right. Need to go into the WG. Give me a wave, Don, that you're ready. Give me a wave. He's waving. He's all coming ready. In. He's all ready. He's got his, he put his port down. He didn't spill it.
What list?
He's making a list.
Tracking it twice.
You gotta find out.
And you better watch out. You better not cry. You better not bow. I'm telling you why. Santa Claus is coming to town. Santa Claus is coming to town. Santa Claus is coming to town. He's making a list.
Welcome back. House Smarts Radio. Merry Christmas. 9:40 in the morning. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Joanne is in Deer Park. Hey, Joanne, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm great. How can I help you?
I have a question regarding these comment smart meters. I read something a while back that they're dangerous and they give off dangerous, and I don't even know what the word is. I can't remember the article. And I was wondering if you can do anything
RF,
about that.
RF signals.
There you go.
Yeah. Worry about something.
You know
worry about something else. We had someone from ComEd on, and I did a little research on it. And you know, people are like, "Oh my gosh, you can put the special paint and blah 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 blah." Do you have wireless internet in your home?
I do.
That's an RF signal.
Right.
Do you
do
you listen to the radio in your house?
I do.
That's an RF signal.
Okay.
So, I mean, you know, it's a communication thing. It's not constant. It's not. I honestly would worry about something else.
Okay.
I mean, if I put a basket with a rat next to it and it lived there for, you know, every single day, you know, if I put it next to your AM radio, it'd probably have the same effect.
Uh-huh.
Right.
Okay. All right. Very good. Yeah. Well, Merry Christmas to you.
You too.
Thanks for all your help.
You got
all
it. Right. I appreciate you calling this morning. And again, that's my opinion. I'm sure, oh my gosh, I read the article, but really worry about something else. Here's Gary in Westmont. Gary, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Good morning. A question. Can you put the Icer gutter and roof, or a roof and gutter heating cable over fiber?
Uh-oh. Uh-oh. What happened? What happened? We just lost him, just like that. What are you touching in there? You're, like, moving around. You're touching something. Did you touch something? Tell me.
I did.
Be honest. You did, right?
Just
Gary, call back from Westmont. Here's the thing. Is that Gary? Okay. If you wouldn't eat so many cookies, this wouldn't happen.
I am one person. I'm trying to do it all. Back.
Gary? Gary?
Yes.
That was
yes.
Lindsay. It's her fault.
Oh.
Sorry.
Oh, okay.
She, I don't know. You know what? She said something. She has something against, like, she watched some movie with a guy named Gary, and she that name just drives her crazy. It's her problem, not mine. Okay. I'm kidding. What's your question?
Well, first of all, you gave me information from NS&S Exteriors a couple weeks ago. They were tremendous.
Oh, the skylight people?
Yeah.
Nice people, aren't they?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
like
really nice people.
Now, I forgot to ask them, can you put roof and gutter de-icer cables over caulk or fiberglass or aluminum roof?
Yes.
Yeah. It won't melt the caulking?
No. No. Where do you want to put this? Are you having an issue where you've got ice dams that build up?
Yeah, that's what I'm preparing for. Yeah, that's what the guy from NS&S Exteriors told me.
Right.
And I forgot to ask him, will the caulking melt with the cable over it?
No. It gets warm, but it isn't when it's, you know, when it warms up, you could grab the cable and hold it.
Oh, okay.
You know what I mean? It's just, I mean, it probably gets, I don't know what the temperature is, but it's not like boiling water. It's a passive heat gain on there, and you're going to place it in an area, and are you going to have, how are you going to power this? Are you going to run an extension cord? Are you going to have an electrician run an outlet, or what are you going to do?
Well, I'm going to probably either run a extension cord underneath. I got an outlet underneath my sunroom, and I got to just run it. But if I get a long enough one, I can run the cable. But if not, I'm going to have to run an extension cord.
And how, you know, the one thing I want you to pay attention to on this, Gary, is that, you know, the extension cord, the size of the extension cord, you know, the thickness of the wire matters depending on how much wattage and draw you're going to use.
Oh,
so,
okay.
You know, depending on how you want to look, when you buy these cables, it'll tell you how much wattage it uses, okay?
Oh, okay.
And so when you're buying the cable, or rather the extension cord, you know, a standard 14-wire, you know, extension cord, orange or green, whatever color you get, I'm trying to think off the top of my head, but, I mean, you know, you can use it for a circular saw, which probably draws about 14 amps to start up and then 7 amps draw. You got to look at all that, the watts and the amperage, and make sure you're getting the right extension cord for it.
Oh,
because that cable, it'll say that when you buy it, like the extension cord could heat up because of the draw of electricity, and that could be a fire hazard.
Oh, okay. So make sure I read the directions from the box.
That would be key.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, Well, appreciate your NS and S, too. They were, like I said, that Tom was great.
That's wonderful. So, have a wonderful holiday, Gary. Thanks so much for calling.
Thank you very much.
Appreciate it. All right, it's 9:46 in the morning. We'll take a quick break and be back right after this.
Griswold Family Christmas Tree.
Isn't it a little big?
It's not big. It's just full.
Dad, that thing is in our yard.
Not going in our yard, Russ. It's going in our living room.
Rocking around the Christmas tree at the Christmas party hop. Mistletoe hung.
Welcome back. House Smarts Radio on 720 WGN. John Williams coming up in just a few minutes. Andrea is in Elk Grove Village. Hi, Andrea. You're on WGN. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good. How can I help you?
Well, we have a cold house, and we cannot figure out why. And we've done things. We've lived here for about 20 years in Elk Grove Village. The house is a Cape Cod. It's about 2,000 square feet. We have 100,000 BTU furnace, forced air heating. And just in, like, I'd say the last 7-8 years, it's just been cold all the time. And I cannot figure out why. My husband put insulation in the crawl space, you know, under the floor. Mm-hmm. However, the paper is facing out, and I think the paper was supposed to be facing in. But aside from that, we also
Wait. When you're in the crawl space, do you see the paper or you don't see the paper?
You see the paper.
Yeah, it should be the other way.
Yeah.
But it's not critical, and it's not why. So when you say your house is cold, you have the thermostat set at what?
70 or 72.
Okay. And it's cold like where you're sitting, or it's cold anywhere you walk around the house, or there's certain rooms that are really cold?
Well, like I said, it's a Cape Cod, so I say the lower level, which has like a family room, a living room. The utility room is always pretty cold. But like I sit, I have my television in the, like, what would be your living room, and my husband has his TV. This is how we keep saying, being separate with our TVs. And he isn't as cold, but in where my room is, where I have a, I guess it's an eastern exposure where the window is, and northern exposure where there is no window, it is always about 61, 62 degrees. I watch TV with a coat on. It's just, it's cold. And I thought of we've got new windows last year,
mm-hmm.
That hasn't helped. It's helped with sound because our backyard is like on Arlington Heights Road. But also, I had one thought, and I don't know if this would make any difference, but our aluminum siding, we had painted about 7 years ago. And I had asked the people who painted it to, you know how there's those little air holes on the bottom of the siding?
Mm-hmm.
I asked them to poke those so that they'd be open. Well, in looking at it, they never poked the holes through. So I don't know if that has anything to do with it. Like I said, is our furnace, you know, big enough for the house? My husband is HVAC, so he says 100,000 BTU is correct. Now, the one thing is we have a gas fireplace. It's more like a stove fireplace. It's got some phony logs in there, but it's gas,
mm-hmm.
and it doesn't need venting. It's ventless, I guess it's called.
Okay.
Now, that's only 30 BTU. When he turns that
30,000.
Yeah, 30,000 BTU. When he turns that on, that's in, like, the family room, which is sort of on the west side of the house. That, when he turns it on, it, like, heats the whole downstairs, and then it's 70 in my room, and that, of course, turns the furnace doesn't go on because it's warm. So I have no idea what the problem is and why our house is cold. But you have to wear a suit.
How long have you two been married?
33 years.
Here, you know, if you got one TV and you went and you sat next to each other underneath the blanket, you could both keep each other warm.
That's true. Mm-hmm. He's always changing the channels and watching shows I don't like.
I got it. Well, anyway. Then maybe the separate TVs are better. Okay, a couple things I want you to try.
Okay.
One is where your thermostat is. Do you have a programmable thermostat or is it an old dial type? What is it?
It's not programmable, but you push the buttons on it, and it is centrally located.
Okay. I want you to, in the room where that furnaces, or excuse me, the thermostat is. I want you to close the vents 50% of the way.
All right. Well, it's in a little hallway, so there's no there's no vent in that area.
Okay. Well, we need to that part of the problem could be the location of the thermostat. Okay, because it could be an issue where it's warming up in there quickly and it's shutting itself down and it's not keeping the rest of the home warm. The other thing I want you to do is I want you to go to the hardware store and I want you to buy a little thermostat humidistat for $10. And I want you to
call the thermostat what?
It's a humidistat thermostat combo. It's a little mechanical thermostat combo. And it's a little combination unit and you're going to place it in your room that you sit with your TV, and after 24 hours it's going to tell you what the temperature and the humidity level is in that room. And then you're going to take it over to your husband's room, and you're going to do the same thing and kind of measure the difference between what you have the thermostat set at in that hallway versus the rest of the home.
Okay.
So even though you have it set at 72, it might be 72 in that hallway, but we need it to be 74 in that hallway for you to be 70 in your room. So relocating the thermostat can be an issue. There's another thing where HVAC contractors have this little gun that you can buy that measures the temperature of the heat coming out of the ductwork.
Okay.
And you can actually buy one. There's a company called Seek Thermal, S-E-E-K Thermal, that has this thing you can connect to your iPhone, and you can point it at the thing, and it'll tell you the temperature. And you can go around and see what the temperature at. If all of a sudden it's like, wow, it's only 70 degrees out of here, and it's 100 degrees out of here, you may have leaky ductwork. And the leaky ductwork, you're spending all this money to heat and push the air out, and none of it's getting to those rooms before the system shuts down. Those combination of those few things. The other thing is, do you have a whole house humidifier?
No, we don't.
All right. If you add some humidity to that home, you will be amazed, Andrea, how much more comfortable you are and how that humidity helps hold the heat, and then it will run less. Try all those different things, and I bet you'll be warmer. And, you know, every now and then sit on the couch with him, maybe do a little snuggling. It wouldn't be so bad. We'll be right back. John, quick, tell me, ask me, how much money did you raise for the Salvation Army on Friday? Ask me.
Okay, wait. Hey, Lou, how much money did we raise on the thing for the Salvation Army?
I don't know, like $5,000.
No, Lou, it's over $35,000.
Wow, congratulations.
Our goal was $30,000. It's something that you got us doing last year when you said, John, just blow up the show for an hour or so, take pledges, get people to match. We did that last year. It was successful. We did it again this year.
I was listening during that. I was at a luncheon, but then I listened to the tail end. And here's the thing that I loved is that the people that donated, the companies and the sponsors, I'm sure you'll talk about it during the show, they were just so happy to do it.
Yeah.
And it just makes everybody feel so good. So congratulations to you, your crew, and the Salvation Army, of course, that's going to benefit from all the generosity from those people.
I know you got to run, but we really owe it to you and to David Hochberg, who also sort of took your enthusiasm and ran with it.
Awesome.
And his checkbook this year. And you're right, Lou, the people who gave. Thursday, the day we did this, was a crapper of a day. Markets going down, a lot of anxiety in the world, and people were having a ball giving money to the less fortunate.
Merry Christmas.
Thank you, my friend, and who better than Lou Manfredini to say something like that.